Hey friends, welcome back. Thanks for joining us once again on our journey to picture a world we can help create together. Remember in episode 5 of our first season, we spoke with Maitri Nigvekar about why it is important to recognize the needs of caregivers. In our closest set of relationships, a caregiver could be a parent, a sibling, a spouse, or a close friend. Any one of them could be providing care for those who might not be able to do so for themselves. Today, we're talking about a closely connected community of caregivers. They are the families of individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. These families now stand strong, better informed, and supported in their caregiving journey. Prachi Deo, founder of Nayi Disha, tells us more.
So, I come with a technology background and I was working in the corporate space for quite a while. I also have a brother who has Down syndrome. So I used to volunteer at the places that my brother used to go to, essentially some special schools, some vocational centers. During one of the experiences, what I found is that parents were still struggling for information. There was a mother who used to come to the center from 35 kilometers away, availing an auto, being outside the center across the day, while her daughter was inside in closed doors receiving therapy. This really bothered me, and I felt that in this age of information technology, when we go to movies based on the reviews, when we go for a lunch or a dinner based on the reviews, here we have parents who are sending their children who many times are non-verbal and are not able to fend for themselves without having enough information. And as I began to explore, I realized that information is really, really hard, difficult for parents to get. It is fragmented and there is a lot of misinformation also that exists. So what was unacceptable to me was for my parents 45 years back when they were looking for information and they didn't find it, it was a different world then. But in today's age, when I see that parents are struggling, it is essentially that which led to the birth of Nayi Disha. I started thinking more on lines of what is it that parents need and what do parents as caregivers really require. And so, of course, I had seen the journey of my own parents and others, their friends as well. But then we did conduct a few focus group discussions. We did some landscape surveys. And based on the feedback that families gave us, it led to the genesis of Nayi Disha, really.
And so Nayi Disha is really, you call it a resource center. And the aim is to inform, connect, and empower. So could you tell us a little more about how the platform is doing that, and especially for the caregiving families?
Yeah, so the whole idea of Nayi Disha is that we will provide holistic support to families based on the practical challenges that they face at every point in time. So as I mentioned earlier, when we had these focus group discussions, the themes that came out were that initially I did not know what the condition is. For example, if it was a mother of a child with Down syndrome, she would say, I did not know what Down syndrome was. It took me quite some time to understand that what the condition is and what it means for the future. Initial reaction is it something that can be quickly taken care of versus being a lifelong condition that a person would live with? At the same time, when there isn't information, the parents are also grappling with the cycle of acceptance where they go through this grief, anger, and trying to figure out why did this happen to me? Because one must understand that when a child is born, parents have various dreams. It is a very special moment in their life. And then to come to terms with what has happened, it is very difficult for parents. So that was one aspect where parents said that I did not have information, and not having information, not having emotional support led to a delay to start working with my child. In another parent's words, she said that I felt like I was in a jungle. Somebody else had told me that it was a haze for a year or two. I just did not know what was happening around me. And so this was one part. And then second, I mean, this has two parts to it. One is the information and one is the emotional journey for parents. And that the third thing which constantly came out is that it is difficult to find what are the government schemes that can help us. What are the resources that can help us? I don't know where a school is. I use this example often that it's not like you can ask your next door neighbor, ki, do you know an occupational therapist around? Like you would ask the neighbor about, do you know where you can get a Hindi tutor?
Yeah.
Chances are this neighbor might not know who an occupational therapist is and what do they do. That is one more need that we had identified. So taking this into account, we started Naidisha. And exactly like you said, as the logo says, inform, connect and empower. So the inform part of it is where we have built a knowledge hub with evidence-based scientific resources created with subject matter experts. So we have this large library of information which is about developmental disabilities on the various. So if I have to put it in terms of a matrix, it is across conditions like autism or Down syndrome or ADHD. And it is across life stages also. So you will find information about what are the development milestones, what are red flags that a parent should look for, what are early signs or what the condition means. And going on, you would also look at information about what are the challenges a parent might face during puberty. What are my vocational options for future? What are the prospects for future? How do I prepare for my child after I am long gone? How do I appoint a guardian? How do I build a trust for my child? So this is the kind of information we have created. And the third dimension to the matrix is that we are making this information available in various languages, starting with Hindi and English. And we are also working on Telugu in parallel. One thing I should add is this information is available in various formats which are easy to access and easy to absorb. So there are audios, videos, infographics, booklets. So information is available in all formats for families.
Yeah, and recently you launched the helpline. So that's also one of the ways that...
Yes.
That's great. And I think an important point is that you've taken into consideration the different life stages, which is often left out of the conversation when we talk about intellectual and development disabilities. We straight away just go to that disability, or we talk about what it is and how can we work with it. But then the different life stages are something that gets left out, that really becomes important for the caregiving families, because they are the ones taking care of their child or someone in their family, which I think Naidisha is doing a great job in making sure that it's very inclusive. While we do have globally and nationally informed data on persons with a type of disability, intellectual and developmental disabilities are more often than not invisible in the reporting. Societal and environmental barriers add to the pains of accessing the right kind of support at the right time. This makes technological interventions developed by and for the community of caregivers an invaluable resource that is made accessible, shared, and inclusive. Speaking of families, I have also seen that there are steps and carefully thought of initiatives that are getting them invested in growing the community. So can you tell us a bit more about that? Like how you all come together and how the parents are really contributing to this resource center becoming as useful and as big as it is now?
Yeah, so that's where the connect aspect of it comes in. So I really believe that our role is that of a facilitator. While we make information available, it is also important that parents come together. There is no support like peer support. A doctor, a very empathetic doctor trying to explain what the future looks like has one kind of impact, and that's of course needed. A therapist counseling a parent is of course needed. But the parents derive strength out of speaking to another parent who is on a similar journey. So as we started building resources and we started building the directory, which is again one aspect of Connect, to help parents connect with various therapists, schools, organizations that they are looking for to find the right fit for their child. Parents also need to connect with other families and have that sense of community. And that is what keeps parents going. One thing to understand, of course, for caregivers, it's a long and arduous journey. There will be highs, there will be lows. So having that peer connect, learning from each other's experiences is always inspirational. And as many parents have told me, I now feel that I'm not alone. For so long, I used to feel that I'm alone on this journey. So what we have seen is families, of course, see value in having this community. But not only are they able to help their own children, but they are also able to support other families. So they are also, we are also seeing that family parents are emerging as champions within communities. So what essentially every caregiver feels is, if I have been through a difficult journey, can I provide more information to a fellow traveler on this journey that it becomes less difficult for him or her?
Yes. I think that's very important also. This journey itself, being on it, and for new parents, I'm sure you get a lot of new parents also who would need the right direction. So yeah, having that sense of community is very important.
That's exactly right. And also what happens is a parent also gets a sense of expression, gets an ability, channel of expression, and also it serves as self-validation.
Completely agree. I mean, I'm not a parent yet, but I have worked with parents with kids who have Down syndrome and autism, and I know that having to go through it by themselves is something that becomes difficult. But knowing that there are other parents and there are families who can help you out is, I think, a beautiful way to really take this head on and, you know, and be there for their children. So yeah.
So that's one part of it. But what happens also is that as a caregiver, I'm a caregiver myself for my brother who is aging and my mother who's aging and is now acquiring a disability. So what also happens as a caregiver is that everything becomes about caregiving, about the person that you're providing caregiving for. And in that process, you lose yourself. So I have had friends who have been VPs in Goldman Sachs and had to leave their job for their child who has a disability. And I have seen someone who has worked as a cook and said, ki, kya kar sakte hai, bacche ko aur kaun dekhega, mujhe hi kaam chhodna padega.
Yeah,
right.
Okay.
And in the process, you lose that self-worth. But when you start helping other parents, we conduct an annual event called Abhivyakti every year, which is completely organized and run by parents, especially mothers. Okay. And just organizing this event and making it happen is such a victory, is such a win for all of us.
I'm sure. It's like all your efforts and energy just culminated into one. And I'm sure that is a sense of victory.
Mothers who have said, ki, I could actually create a Google form. I felt great about it. Or I did not realize that I could have done this or that. And I could actually bring in sponsors for Abhivyakti.
Great. Yeah. I mean, working as a collective, I think, has its own charm. And, you know, it really empowers you and pushes you to test your limits. We spoke about one set of heroes, which are the parents and which are the caregiving families. Do you want to tell us about the other heroes of Nayi Disha and, you know, how they have been invaluable to what you are aiming to do?
If you ask me a question again on who are the heroes of Nayi Disha, I'm going to say hands down it is the families. And when it's I say happily families, it means parents, and most of the times it's the mothers. They are the main heroes. But also Nayi Disha has been fortunate enough to have a set of like-minded team come together and work towards making it happen. A lot of people in our team took that leap of faith and joined me when we really had nothing. It was just an idea without a name and building it from scratch. So I would say that my team, which works hard to make this happen, would be the next set of heroes, of course.
When you reflect on Naidishra's journey so far, or even your personal journey so far, what are the big wins? What are some of the big wins? And in these wins, I mean, I believe that these wins do not come without learnings. There's either a challenge or a win. And without really saying what challenges have you faced, I just want to flip it and ask, what are the learnings that have emerged?
And there are multiple learnings that have happened. I mean, one, we live in an age of technology and you have multiple startups and a new startup emerges every hour practically. What is important, I feel, is truly understanding the problem. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It is not an idea that comes to you and then you start working on it. It is important that you take into account the people who are affected by that problem and really understand from them if the problem is exactly what you are pursuing or is it different. That itself is a great learning, I believe. And then if you build it truly for people who are looking for that solution, ability to have that community, because you could have platforms and they might not, many of the ideas die down in the water because there are no takers for it many times. So I think community is a very important aspect of, so I would say the marriage that we have been able to have of technology and community has been one of the biggest wins for us. And the second part is, it is not just parent communities. We have had various stakeholders work together with us. So there are doctors from different parts of the country who have said that, oh, this is a good idea. We can help you with some information. And then school saying that, oh, you have this information. How do I pass it on to families associated with us? Or a therapist saying that, may I do this workshop? And this sense of solidarity towards the cause, where you keep families as the focus of this community or the ecosystem, so to say, has been another great win for us. That we have truly been able to, as cliched as those words sound, we have been truly able to create a digital ecosystem of various stakeholders who are involved in the developmental disability space.
I'm also very glad that you brought up the sense of community and, you know, working for the community, and that marriage of technology and community is something that a lot of platforms are not able to achieve.
Yeah.
The heart of the problem is not thought about. And
And I'm myself an engineer. So it is very easy to look at how you make it technology-wise exciting. You know, it's always, oh, we can do this and build this complex solution. But sometimes the answer might be very simple. We took a conscious decision to not have the community, the online community aspect on the platform, because parents prefer WhatsApp. It is the most easiest means for them to be a part of community. So why not leverage that?
So when you sit down, or when you sit down with your team to really think about Naidisha's future, what do you envision for the resource center, and what are you hopeful for? What are your hopes, dreams, you know, the big picture that you see for the entire team, see for the families, for all the caregivers?
Ideal scenario is where Naidisha is not needed anymore, right? So we are, I mean, again, that's ideal, but we are looking at Naidisha being the digital destination for all things intellectual and developmental disabilities in India. So when you have a doctor who is diagnosing a child and telling the family, he or she should also be able to tell them that, why don't you look at Naidisha website, a platform or app, whatever it is, and find information that, or upload their helpline. So that's one part, that we reach families in different parts of the country. To a certain extent, it's happening now. Like, I look at our analytics every week, and I see that there are footprints from Ludhiana or Bhuj or Howrah. What is going to be very important is making this information available in local languages, which is a difficult problem and a massive problem to solve, because we are a country that we are as diverse as we can be. Of course, we have taken the first step towards it in making it available in Hindi, because we have more than 550 million people who speak in Hindi. in our country. And then we're looking at local languages. But I see that, again, this is not something we can do alone. So definitely I look forward to various organizations, individuals joining in so that we make this information available in local languages. Second part of it is, again, having parent communities across. And it doesn't have to be Naidisha. It can be that Naidisha played a role and that community was formed. So having these communities in various parts, even in smaller towns. So if we have one, like I'll give you an example. We had a parent join one of our webinars who was from Jharkhand. And she created a community with us for Jharkhand. So this is something that we are looking at. Can we find parent champions or other parent organizations who can partner with us and take the baton forward?
When we think of the social purpose organizations, and Naidisha being one of them, the goal is to be as sustainable as possible, and to, because India is as big as it is, maybe one Naidisha will not be enough to scale impact. Maybe we'll need 10 more Naidishas. And somewhere I feel that is the power of social change, where if one team or a group of people can really set the stone for that solution, then we also have others popping up and keeping in mind their context and their locality and their people. So now we come to our what if question. I like including this question because it really helps us, let's say, reimagine a world that we can help create together. And I think that all the guest speakers who come on the show are doing that. They are reimagining a better world, a different world, a more inclusive world. So this is the question that really helps us, hopefully helps us move in that direction. So what if we started seeing disability as a barrier to participation? And what I mean by that is when we meet someone, or when we know someone, or when we see someone who has a disability, we do not see that as the first thing about them. But instead, we think about how it's a barrier to their participation. It's because there is something that we as a society are not doing to include them. What if we started looking at disability with that lens? How do you think it will help in improving our responses and in making a more inclusive society? I know it's a very long question.
So what you mean by that really is that, can we look at the person first? So as I gave the example of my own brother, and I think of it often, when we are walking down the road, I look at people around us and I can sense that the first thing they are seeing is somebody who looks different from them, somebody who seems to have wrinkles on his forehead, or someone who's not walking straight, has a slight limp. But if people are able to look at the person first, that this is a person who seems to be slightly different. Because when you recognize a person as a person, you are also looking at what is common between you, versus first pointing out that how this person is completely different from me. Once you start looking at what is common in you, your attitude changes, and then you start looking at other attributes of that person, that, oh, he has such a wonderful smile. Oh, this person is so observant of what's happening around in his surroundings. And that is where you start seeing the value. And then one can look at how you can truly include that person in the community to make it a much better place.
Yeah. And have you seen that change over the years? Because you did mention that you were very young when you started taking care of your brother. So have you, over the years, have you seen, you know, the outlook or the perspective change? Or is it something that will still take time and will still need more awareness for people to really start looking at the person first?
I have been with my brother, but my parents were his primary caregivers throughout. It is at their age now that I'm slowly becoming the primary caregiver, really. But in my childhood journey, of course, I think to some extent there is a change. So again, it is also based on my journey, any person's individual journey, because we were availing more of public transport back then, which we don't at this point. But I remember my mother getting upset because people were staring at my brother or laughing at my brother. Now the community that I live in, that doesn't happen anymore. I mean, there is a lot that needs to be done It starts with the lack of awareness, which is where Naidisha came in.
Right.
It's very heartwarming to see that people want to be more aware. People are saying, okay, how can I know more about it? Because many times you are not able to relate because you don't know what it is. Once you have enough information, you are able to absorb that information and then say, okay. Then you will make an effort to be more inclusive. So I think that awareness bit, we need to do it big time.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think the key to most of the social barriers, I feel, are the lack of awareness.
Yeah.
Which is where, you know, we need more grassroots organizations to come up and do the work that they do. So,
yeah.
So this is another question that I always include because I believe in the power of gratitude. And I personally feel that it is a good way to not only be grateful for what you have, but also start taking care of what you have. And only when we express gratitude, we are able to think with that mindset. Keeping that in mind, what are you grateful for?
I'm extremely grateful for my family because really, whatever inclusion that we talk about starts at home. So had my parents not been that inclusive, it wouldn't have trickled down in me and from me to my spouse and my daughter. So I'm really, really grateful to have that family support where I'm able to do what I want to do.
The world around us is changing every day. On some days, we speak of progress, and on other days, we worry about what's next. However this change comes to be, it is important we embrace it with an inclusive mindset. A mindset that does not discriminate or disregard, but instead empowers to ensure no one is left behind. That's a close on today's episode. Thanks for joining our human chat. If you or someone you know will benefit from our talk, do share this episode with them. That is the best way to grow our community of change makers. Naidisha has a dedicated helpline to answer all questions related to IDD. You can also access the Resource Hub. We'll pop the links in your episode notes. Feel free to share your thoughts, suggestions, and relatable experiences. Or just come say hi on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Until next week, stay safe, take care, and have a think about what you are grateful for today.